Maybe this is true of your house too, but in ours, there is no better way to ensure the house is clean than to be expecting company. Suddenly, floors overdue for some attention get swept, neglected piles of papers are organized, catch-all countertops are tidied, toys return to their proper places. The transformation is amazing. My hunch is that many of our guests wouldn't mind seeing our home in its natural state. They know we have kids and we're busy, and often their own homes are in a similar state of disarray, so really, it's a self-imposed panic clean. But I tell you what, it gets the job done. And then there are those extra special friends. Perhaps you're lucky enough to have one too. A friend or a family member so dear and so close to you that you simply leave the mess as is. Sometimes they'll sit with you amid the piles of laundry, drinking coffee, talking, listening, laughing. Other times they come right in, see the mess, and they start doing the dishes. Do you know that kind of relationship? Intimate, absent of judgment, filled with grace and love and service. Irish poet and philosopher David White writes, "The ultimate touchstone of friendship is not improvement, neither of the other nor of the self. The ultimate touchstone is witness, the privilege of having been seen by someone, and the equal privilege of being granted the sight of the essence of another. To have walked with them and to have believed in them, and sometimes just to have accompanied them for however brief a span on a journey impossible to accomplish alone." A journey impossible to accomplish alone. No matter how organized or independent we might feel, life is sometimes tough or complicated, and we all desire caring friends who truly see us. In this age of social media, we may feel as though we're witnessing others intimately, as if we're connecting with a long friends list of people. We're in each other's homes. We observe momentous occasions. And while we do sometimes see and share the heartaches or bumps in the road, for the most part, what we're witnessing is a carefully curated version of someone's life. But those in your innermost circles, those who receive your late-night phone calls, who show up when you're sick or sad, they are the ones who actually know you, the ones you allow into the sometimes dark recesses of your heart and mind are the ones who really witness you and walk through life with you in the most profound ways. As I considered our scripture reading today, I thought about Joseph and Mary setting out for Bethlehem from Nazareth, Mary mere days or weeks from giving birth, and how nobody was waiting there to greet them. Not one person in Bethlehem was doing any last-minute sweeping in anticipation of their arrival. And certainly no one was flinging their doors wide, welcoming the young couple to share in their messy lives. Nobody was present with them to witness this major life change they're about to undergo. Mary and Joseph show up in town, and the only place available for them to rest is with the animals. And it's there, in that forlorn stable, that God arrives to be with Mary and Joseph, to join with them and with us in our humanity. It is there that Jesus is born. In preparation for this sermon, I was tempted to say that the manger was Jesus' first earthly home, but that's not true. He grew inside Mary's body, tucked safely next to her beating heart, being nourished and developing until he was able to survive on the outside. Jesus' first home was where Mary's heart was. and after leaving the warmth and comfort of the womb. Jesus was born into this bright, loud, smelly, hectic world, and his mother gently wrapped him in bands of cloth, and she laid him in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. We recount this year after year, but do we ever pause to think about what it could mean that the Messiah, God in human flesh, had such a humble beginning? God in God's power could surely have arrived magically and majestically, descending on a cloud from out of the sky. He could have chosen for his home a palace, what we might consider a more appropriate place for one we call the King of Kings. But that's not what God did. Instead, God surprises us and shows us that a good king with true power chooses to witness and join in the plight of those on the margins, those who've been told there's no room. Jesus Christ arrives as a poor and vulnerable baby boy to peasants in the countryside, unbeknownst to the Roman emperor, whose census required that they travel to Bethlehem. That God would choose to be revealed in this way shows us what a tender, patient, and loving God we worship. Jesus cried, slept, and nursed at his mother's breast, just like every other human baby. It's so meaningful and beautiful that God came to show us the way of love by arriving completely defenseless and dependent. How can we, in turn, let down our defenses in order to follow Jesus on this path of self-sacrifice and love? The world lost an insightful soul this week. The trailblazing black feminist Bell Hooks speculated about love. She perceptively said, "The practice of love offers no place of safety. We risk loss, hurt, pain. We risk being acted upon by forces outside our control." And she's right. Love is risky. When we offer our heart, we're laid bare before another. We open ourselves up to ridicule or rejection. But offering our heart also allows for immense joy and deep connection. It's worth the risk. This can be as small as stopping to share a meal with a hungry person on the street, and rather than walking off right away, sitting with them, asking their name, hearing their story. Taking a risk for love could mean calling up an estranged friend or family member without expectation, just to let them know you keep them in your prayers and wish them well. I had an opportunity to show love just yesterday when I was sitting outside on my seminary's campus talking with my friend about this sermon. As we chatted, a car pulled up and two women stepped out and approached us. One of the women did not speak English, so the other did all the talking. She showed us a scar on her friend's arm and informed us that she was recovering from surgery and had three small children at home who would not be receiving anything for Christmas. She was looking for any help we might offer. I couldn't believe how the Spirit was moving, challenging me to put my money where my mouth is. To witness and walk alongside another human on their journey. I know, Karen, you said you already did the crying. I'm trying really hard here. Okay. Between my friend and I, we were able to give something that will hopefully help this woman's family have a more full and happy Christmas. And I recount this story to highlight that we're surrounded by opportunities for risky love all the time. It could land in your lap like it did for me, or it could look something like traveling across state lines as a man named Jim Finch did this week to serve the people in Kentucky who were reeling after the tornado. Jim said, I know they don't have electricity. No restaurants, no running water. I just figured I would do what I could. So I showed up with some food and some water. Taking risks for love will ask us to leave our comfort zones, and we don't really like to do that. It's called a comfort zone for a reason. We like to remain comfortable and in control, but comfort and control rarely grow us in any meaningful ways. And my hope is that we will always seek to grow in love, just as Jesus grew from a helpless baby in a manger to the man who fed, taught, healed, touched lepers, broke bread with tax collectors, and eschewed all societal rules that aimed to separate or subordinate anyone. In other words, he took risks for love, for the love of the despised, the outcast, and the stranger. As we move through the season of Advent, we're all on the pregnancy journey with Mary. All of us are anticipating Jesus' arrival. Mary birthed his human body at a specific moment in history, but Jesus Christ is born in our hearts again and again. Advent is a wonderful time to get the house ready, as it were. Let's make sure when Christ arrives that, unlike the inn in Bethlehem, there is room for him in our hearts. You might opt for the panic clean, and that's fine. If there are things in your heart that need to be cleaned up or cleared out, look honestly at them and do what you can to address them. Is resentment weighing you down? Is addiction or shame taking over your life? Is financial success foremost in your mind? And especially at this time of year, are you valuing material possessions a bit more than is healthy? These are important issues to consider any time, and awaiting the arrival of Jesus seems a particularly good time to take stock. But I also want to remind you that Jesus is the friend who will sit with you in the mess. Cleaning up is not a prerequisite for him. He wants to simply witness who you are, and he'll happily help you with the mess whenever you ask. When we make room in our hearts for Jesus, the mess isn't quite so overwhelming, because the gentle presence of God is there to guide us, comfort us, and encourage us as we journey toward wholeness. The more room we make for Christ's love to live in our hearts, the less room we have for pettiness or cynicism or anything that might turn us away from this humble God who came to us as an infant. The more room we make for Christ's love to live in our hearts, the more we align our desires with God's. We'll be more inclined to offer a helping hand or a kind word, to extend our prayers or resources where they're desperately needed, to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Our loving Creator repeatedly breaks into our human experience, and our job is to be expecting it, to be joyfully preparing for Jesus' presence and his expansive love that catches us up and pushes us out, so that all the world may know they are held and loved by God. Throughout this sermon series, we've heard the message, I'll be home for Christmas. My prayer is that wherever you are for Christmas, you'll be home with people who see you, who know you and love you. I also hope you find the courage to open your heart, for Jesus will be home for Christmas too, and his home is where your heart is. May we welcome him with all the love and hospitality we can offer. Amen.